B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Yeah, for the first time in weeks, back together again. Gasper Murray here on 98.5, a sports show coming from the Town Fair Tire Studio in lovely, picturesque Dorchester, Massachusetts. Good morning, Chris. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you? What's
good.
Going on?
Should this be the weekend, or would it have been last weekend that we would have been up overlooking Patriots practice at Gillette Stadium, outside of Gillette Stadium? I feel like we're getting ripped off here.
That's right.
There's a whole hodgepodge of terrible things that the COVID pandemic has brought us, but this is one of them. You know how much I usually love that Saturday. We're out there getting to watch some of the players, hyping up guys that end up sucking, like, who was it that one year? Was it Brandon
Cooks?
Brandon Cooks.
Oh, you hyped up. Yeah, you did hype up Brandon Cooks.
Way into Brandon
good.
Cooks when I first saw him at that practice, and boy, did he end up being a disappointment. But we're not there. You have been able to go. You spent much of the week at Patriots practice. And before we get into, you know, all the minutiae of what's going on there and the quarterback competition, or maybe lack thereof because of the injury to Jarrett Stidham, the one thing I want to know more than anything else, because I know you, like me, do not like to be inconvenienced, how much of a pain in the ass is it to deal with, like, all the precautions and everything you have to deal with COVID and everything, trying to get in there?
Actually, it's not that bad. They've done a tremendous job.
Really?
I have to tip my cap to the Patriots. Yeah, Stacey James and his crew have done an outstanding job of setting it up logistically. And it's pretty much, you know, I mean, it's a little different, obviously, because it's COVID, but it's pretty easy. I mean, you know, you show up and you're on a list and you walk in and they have lines. There's different tiers of media members. People like Doug Kide and Mike Reese that sort of do pool reports are in this higher tier of media member. I believe they actually get COVID tested. We don't, but you come in and you have this little app on your phone that you filled out all the symptoms, or the symptoms you don't have really, that allow you to show up, and they take your temperature and give you a wristband and hand you a credential. We give the credentials back at the end of each day. I think they clean them down, and that's it. Then you're in there. They've done a really good job. And the makeshift media workroom they set up, which is socially distanced, it's in the old CBS scene, is really outstanding. So they've done really well.
Oh, good. I'm legitimately happy to hear that for you.
Oh,
because
yeah, no.
I figured you had to have a test every single day, that they monitored every single move that you make. They make sure that you don't, you know, move from your seat while you're watching this thing. I just figured it was going to be one
good.
Giant pain in the ass.
No, I mean, you have to keep your mask on and all that stuff.
Yeah,
that's fine. But they're really good. I think the media relations staff has done an outstanding job. Football ops, may or may not be trying to use a crisis to cut down media coverage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kind of despicable, to be honest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Please expound on that.
I just think, you know, we 2 days, 3 days into camp, we had a little issue where we were asked to not report stuff on special teams, like, I don't know, who's catching the kicks, even though it had happened in days 1 and 2. And that's not media relations. That's coming from football ops. So, again, I think it's reprehensible and despicable to try and create a competitive advantage through a global pandemic.
Yeah.
I Googled Patriots kick returners, and the second thing that came up listed Isaiah Zuber and all the guys who would return punts and kicks the first 2 days when we reported it. So the toothpaste is already out of the tube.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. This is something that I'm sure that Bill enjoys. Like, oh, I don't have to actually deal with as many of these a-holes as I have in the past, or I don't have to answer as many questions. Yes, excellent. I'm going to use this to my advantage.
They're not the only team, by the way.
Oh, I know. No, this is rampant.
Look at what the Green Bay Packers are doing. I'm not signaling out Bill, never underestimate the motivation of a football coach to, take a crisis and try and turn it into a competitive advantage.
All right. Give me some observations, some of the things that you've seen. I think a lot of people are obviously interested in the quarterback situation. Yeah. I have been steadfast in, ever since they signed Cam Newton, that Cam Newton is going to be the guy. But now it almost feels like it's going to happen by default because of this injury that popped up with Jarrett Stidham.
I think that Cam Newton is still the guy. They've created this competition, I think, somewhat falsely. In other words, Cam Newton, to me, is still the best option, but he obviously doesn't know the offense as well as Hoyer or Stidham. So on the surface, you can look at that, and it sort of forms this almost sort of you know, spurious competition here, even though we all know the guy with the most upside and the guy that gives you the best chance to win is Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton is making strides. I like what I've seen. He looks healthy. I mentioned this before in Felger and Maz. I think the ball placement is better than advertised. And like I said before, ball placement and completion percentage are not the same, because you can put a ball in the right place and a guy can drop it. Or you can throw a pass that's not a good pass and a guy can make an incredible Odell Beckham catch and you get the completion. I'd say throw in and throw out. His ball placement is good. You know, he gives his receivers a chance. He gives them a chance to catch it on the run. I'd say that's been better than advertised. I frankly feel that the fastest way to get him up to speed, Jim, is to give him the majority of the reps. Like, in my mind, he should be getting 80% of the reps.
Yeah, so I saw you tweet this yesterday, or retweet, you know, in commentary to something that Doug Kite had said about this, the QB competition, and you find it forced and contrived.
Yes.
And you feel like now, especially with this thing that's going on with Jarrett Stidham, like, let's not waste any time here. Let's not even give really any reps to Brian Hoyer. All the reps at QB should go to Cam Newton.
Yeah, I mean, you had no offseason. You have a quarterback who's new to your system. You have a truncated training camp. You have no preseason games. You're 3 weeks away from your first game tomorrow. You need to get him up to speed. He should be cramming. He needs every rep he can get. Brian Hoyer, literally, Brian Hoyer's job is to be ready to play with zero reps. That's what career backups do. Giving Brian Hoyer a bunch of reps, I don't get it. I don't see how that benefits the team. Now, Stidham, I sort of understand. I think they wanted to keep the carrot out there for him to keep working hard. It was a way to sort of push Cam Newton and keep Stidham engaged, give him the idea he has a chance to win the job. And who knows? You know, if he had come out and been gangbusters and looked like Aaron Rodgers, then, you know, that turns out to be a win-win. It's like, oh, my God, this kid's really good. We have to play him. That's fine. But that's not really what happened. And now that he's sort of banged up, I think you got to shift this thing. And Bill admitted, he said at some point they were going to have to move from this to getting whoever's going to be the starter ready for week one. But, you know, everything that I've been told from the moment that Cam Newton signed was that he was going to be the starter. And I pretty much was told that training camp was going to go the way it's going in terms of Bill, you know, creating some sort of competition. And I think that's something he wanted to do. Part of it, I think, frankly, he's just indulging himself.
That's what it feels like.
A little bit.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I don't understand. You know, so what, he's trying to light a fire under one of these guys' asses or trying to push Cam Newton? Like, do you think that Cam Newton, based on everything that you've seen from his social media posts, do you think that he needs any extra motivation? And now that he's coming back from all these injuries and he has all these doubters and he was one of the last free agents signed, or the last quarterbacks that have been picked up, and he's a former MVP, how much more extra motivation does that guy in particular need? I don't think any. So this does feel like You know, it's Bill playing his favorite CDs, you know, just like I'm just trying to indulge myself, which I find foolish at this point because you're not going to have a preseason. Like, all the reps should be going to Cam Newton at this point.
I totally agree with you on that, because it's an unusual offseason. Unless, look, you know, Bill knows a heck of a lot more about football than the two of us. He'll forget more in the next 5 minutes than we'll ever know. Maybe there's something about Cam. Maybe he has reservations about Cam Newton that we don't realize, or I do think there's something to this idea that you could have multiple quarterbacks playing. I don't think it's going to be switching off every snap, but I do think you could have certain plays in the game or certain series maybe where they bring in somebody else to try and keep the defense off guard. I think that's something that I could totally see them doing. You know, maybe there's something else there, but it just seems like this whole quarterback competition is, you know, you're right, the words I used yesterday, a little contrived.
Talk to me about some of the other positions, because there seems to be some strong concern from those that have also been there, from our own Scott Zolak, for one, and Bob Soucy. Not exactly a flamethrower, but he seems concerned about the wide receiver position specifically, and now we hear N'Keal Harry's been out the last few days. Julian Edelman has also been handled with kid gloves a bit, so where are some other things that you've looked at? Is that a concern for you from what you've seen, too?
Definitely.
Running back?
Yeah, I think, you know, running back, Damian Harris has looked good. I think they just need to kind of leave him alone. He has great instincts. You know, I don't want them to coach him into another Sony or Maroney, which is something I tweeted. There was one point in one of the drills where he made a cut and was admonished for not going north-south.
Oh, why?
I know.
Why do they do this?
It's like, Bill, not everybody has to run like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if that's what you want, then just draft every running back from round six and up. Don't draft guys in the first three rounds if you want them to run like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Cuts.
It's a waste of a pick.
Flashes of athleticism. No, you fall forward. I don't know why they do this to all the running guys.
Well, he hates negative runs.
Yeah.
He would rather avoid, like, if they had a situation where a guy had three negative runs, and that meant he was going to rip off a 75-yarder. He'd rather just have, like, you know, all 10 straight plodding five-yard runs. So that's just sort of the way it is. But Damien Harris looks good. The receivers, outside of Edelman, I think we're right back where we were last year. I mean, who do you expect to step up? Olszewski's look good, but can he really be counted on in a game? And their big issue last year was separation. Evan Lazar had this last year when you looked at it. Here are some of the ranks. Out of 143 receivers who qualified in terms of average separation, these are guys that ran 100 routes. 143, remember, here were some of the rankings of guys last year. Sanu, 112. Jacoby Myers, 120. N'Keal Harry, out of 143. He was dead last.
Oh, good.
So they have an issue with separation, and it's shown up in camp.
And the other standard has been Devin Ross. Like, I feel like this is that position specifically is going to be extremely problematic. You know, so, you know, you want to count on Edelman, but he's getting up there in age. And a guy that is one of those slot receivers that's taken the beating that he has because he's going to be 34 or he's 34. Yeah. Like, he's in uncharted territory here. At this point, Wes Welker, it was already, I think, on the Rams and was washed up, or at least you look at the numbers he put up in that second year in Denver, he fell off a cliff.
Yep.
Wayne Corbett had already retired. Like, I just think he's in uncharted territory here. And I love him. I think he's one of the great wide receivers in this team's history. But, you know, he was a leader in the league and drops last year. I just think it's starting to show up a little bit. And I think you can't count on him too much. He can't be your number one. So I would expect N'Keal Harry to step up, but extremely concerned that he's been out here the last 3 days, not on the field for whatever reason. I have to think it's probably an injury because he missed 9 games with the ankle last
year. Tough break for him.
Just a position that doesn't seem like it's not a strength offensively.
We'll see. I mean, I would say right now, no. You know, obviously you have Edelman there. He's the number one. But even going back to last year, other than Edelman, there was not a single receiver on this team who accumulated 30 catches or 400 yards receiving. The guy who came the closest was Philip Dorsett, and he's gone. So that's a huge question mark for them. And when I look at guys like Jacoby Myers, who I like the kid, he works very hard. He's really smart. But to me, he's sort of like Kembrell Tompkins 2.0. You know, he's fine. He'll be on an NFL roster. But is he a guy that you want to count on to be like a number two or number three receiver? Probably not. Whoever the quarterback is this year, and again, I think it'll be Cam, but let's play along. You know, let's play along with Bill's conceit of this competition. Whoever the quarterback is, they're going to have to do some heavy lifting because these guys are not getting a lot of separation. I will say this, though. Damier Byrd does look pretty good. You know, I think he's a little bit of a one-trick pony in terms of the deep stuff, but he might be able to take the top off the defense, which I know Felger loves.
All right. Well, how do you guys feel about the Patriots from everything that you've heard thus far from Chris Gasper and others that have been there covering the team? Are you ready to accept Cam Newton as your starting quarterback? Because it does feel like it's headed that way. I've accepted that as soon as he was signed. But how about the rest of you? 617-779-0985. You'd like to join us here this morning.
I thought you were going to say, are you ready to accept Cam Newton as your Lord and Savior?
Oh, well, that too.
That's what it sounded like you were going
to
say.
Are you ready to accept Cam Newton as your Lord and Savior? Let us know here on Gasper Murray, 617-779-0985. Also, in the interest of full disclosure, I want to let you guys know that at some point today, I don't know how we're going to handle this. I was just told by our fine cleaning company, ACP Facility Services. They're in here, you know, giving a thorough wipe down and cleaning and sterilization of the building. We have to do that with these COVID times. But the dude popped in is like, yo, I got to shampoo the rug in here. But we're on the air, man. And I need like 10 minutes. So how do we handle this? I don't know. I'll have to pick a long song and maybe put that on because, I mean, it's got to get clean, Chris. What are you going to do? So, you know, we'll figure that out
But are people supposed to be in here when it's clean? I have some concerns about the chemicals.
Yeah, I can understand that, too. Maybe they'll just get us real high, and then the show will get wacky. who knows? Who's to say? But we'll have to figure that out within the next 10 minutes or so as well. I love that they give me the heads up on that, too. Did I know there was a cleaning company in here today? Didn't. Did I know that this particular room that we are supposed to be doing the show in for the next 3 hours needed to be cleaned? No, I didn't. So how are we going to handle that? Who really knows? We'll be back after this, we think. Here on Gasper and Murray on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
If you ask me, hey, Zoe, we got a game on Monday. Who's your starting quarterback? I think Brian Hoyer is your starting quarterback on Monday. Now, that could change in a week. But I'm telling you what, if I'm anybody that's around Cam Newton right now, I get him and I grab him by two fists by the shirt and I shake him. I'm like, hey, buddy, it's go time. It's there for the taking if you want it. And he just, I tell you what, he's fun to watch, man. And he doesn't stop moving. He's in. Same thing we've seen in warm-ups when we call games against him and in the game. He's good. He can play. They all can play. They're all different. That's the intriguing thing here. And, you know, we talked to McDaniels. You'll see it Sunday night when you watch the show. They're all different. And there might be something to this three-headed thing. I don't know. I don't know that. I was there one day. But, I mean, they're intermixing guys with groups and that. I said this, I truly believe it. I looked at Bob. I'm like, you can't get into the who was 10 of 13 or who was this or that, because I look at the practice from start to finish. To me, Brian Hoyer looks the most comfortable guy right now. Stidham looks like it's a guy in baseball or hockey that's gripping a stick too tight right now, if that makes sense. And maybe Cam has put that pressure on him, and maybe that's what they're looking at.
Our own Scott Zolak of Zolak and Bertrand, of course, color, with Bob Sosi during the Patriots season. Talking about what he's seen, he was down there one of these days filming some stuff for WZ. What was it? Channel 4.
WBZ.
Thank you. Jesus. Stupid brain of mine. Gaspar Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So he thinks if the Patriots were to actually play a real game, Brian Hoyer would be the starter. And then there was some talk this week, Chris, of the, you know, it would be a QB rotation.
Yeah.
Which I hate the thought of, because I've always been told that the standard of stupidity in the NFL, Chris, is if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. But now they have three, and it's a good thing because Bill Belichick is thinking of doing it, because he's Bill Belichick and it's Bill Jong-un and everything he does is the right thing. What's the saying they're going to change to from Patriots fans? Three QBs is a big party. Like, it makes me crazy that this would ever be accepted. And I get, okay, the only thing I could kind of understand is that because of no preseason games, and the Patriots always treat September as an extension of the preseason, those first three games, you could see the three-headed monster, if they do hang on to all three QBs and Stidham's healthy, that you would see some sort of rotation. But I just hate the thought of it. It's 2011 Jets with Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow, and I've always hated the gadget QB thing, and I know it's worked to some level of success recently
in
New Orleans with
Taysom Hill.
Yeah, Taysom Hill and Drew Brees, but
But you turned Cam Newton into Taysom Hill, though?
Why would, if I'm Cam Newton, again, with in a prove it year, I need to show all these doubters that I'm healthy. I want to show up here in New England, have a good season, and then have a big payday in 2021. Why would I even consider doing that? I would just say, cut me. Can Bill really be considering something like this?
I don't know. I mean, he is great at maximizing what he has to cover up a hole, and it's a challenge, obviously, for Newton to get up to speed in the system. I'll be honest, I thought that they were going to make maybe more allowances for Cam Newton's ability and maybe make some tweaks to the offense. And, you know, we've seen them. We're not allowed to report, but there's some stuff that you've seen them run that Tom Brady wouldn't run. But by and large, it looks like their offense. So
it does. It's Brady-esque from what you've seen.
Yeah, pretty much looks like the same offense for the most part. So I'm a little surprised by that. And again, I would sort of question the wisdom of that, because I think if you do tailor it a little bit to Newton and his skill set, and it's not like he can't run a pro-style offense. He did it with Norv Turner the last year that Norv Turner was there. He's capable of doing that. He just doesn't know your offense. So I'm not saying you have to run like the Lamar Jackson offense. That's the biggest misconception about like Newton. It's like, oh, we're going to have to run like a Lamar Jackson. No. He can run a pro offense, but you might have to simplify it a little bit because he hasn't had time to learn the offense. So that's sort of where I'm coming from there. I still think Cam Newton's the best option, and I'm hoping that eventually they will come to that conclusion.
Dylan in the car, you're first up here on Gaspar Murray this morning. Are you willing and ready to accept Cam Newton as the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots? Hello, Dylan. Hello, Dylan.
I'm here to hopefully quell your worries, because Murray, I feel like you've been like ready to jump off a cliff the last, I don't know, couple months or whatever. And I want to calm and quell your worries a little bit here, if I can. There's no way that they're going to go with a quarterback rotation. It's not going to happen. Bill Belichick wouldn't have expounded as much on the question as he did if he was planning on elaborating that to the league who's listening, that they're going to go with a quarterback rotation. It's not going to happen. The only thing that's going to happen is if one of these guys goes down injured, or if they see in camp that Brian Hoyer is, for some reason, the better option. Of course, Bill is going to do what he's going to do and go, you know, pick the option best for the football team. However, I hate hearing all these people talk about how it's going to be some gadget thing or some package thing like it was with the Jets and Tim Tebow. The Jets didn't even use Tim Tebow as a quarterback. They didn't even have an offensive package for him. He was on special teams far more than he was ever on the field as a quarterback or a backup option. In fact, the Jets benched Mark Sanchez that year in favor of Greg McElroy instead of Tim Tebow. So people need to stop comparing those two because the Jets didn't even use Tim Tebow correctly, but that's a whole other conversation. So Cam Newton will be the starter. He'll be fine. Hopefully he has enough to, you know, learn the playbook as he's kind of gone through it now. But I do see them changing the scheme a little bit, borrowing some stuff from the Ravens with those three tight end sets and the goal line creativity. They don't have to throw the whole kitchen sink out and reinstall everything. It'll be a mix of both. So take my call, guys. Be safe, as always.
Yep, you too. Appreciate the call, Dylan. Well, again, a lot of this may seem like it's going to happen by default that it's going to be Cam Newton because of the news of Jared Stidham, who's not going to be 100% here for the next few weeks. That's the report from Mike Chiardi, NFL Network, has this hip injury. But it seems like it's a non-contact thing, right? It didn't happen at camp. Like, bad look for a 24-year-old kid, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little different on this than you guys were on Felger and Maz. Again, it's not the timing stinks. I feel bad for Stidham, but I also can't blame him in a year where there was no off-season program. Like, he was training the same way everybody else was training, like probably, you know, in somebody's basement or something. So I think you're going to have more of these injuries, and we've seen them across the league, and we saw them in 2011 when you had the lockout. I think people are going to be more susceptible to these type of muscle injuries and pulls and strains and all that type of stuff because they didn't have the off-season program, and you're kind of going from, you know, zero to 80, basically, to get out there and be in these full-pad practices. So what if you're not getting hit? You know, I mean, people have injuries. Everybody knows runners get tendonitis. Tennis players get tennis elbow. Is somebody crashing into them? No, that's what happens. So I don't really fault him, but the timing obviously is unfortunate. My biggest issue with him, Jim, is that I see why the Patriots like him. He does kind of look the part. There's something about him that's like almost Tannehill-esque, where you look at him and you're like, man, this guy looks like he's it.
Looks the part.
He looks the part. He has it, you know? And then you're like, oh, what a throw. Damn, this guy could be good. And then the next throw is some outside the numbers that floats up in the wind like a kite and gets intercepted by some guy named Michael Jackson. And that's the thing. You know, he's just very inconsistent. I see why they like him. I'll be honest with you. I think he's sort of a quarterback tease.
Okay. I know what you mean.
You know
that.
What
like,
I'm saying. Yeah,
it looks the part. Occasionally makes the throws that wow you. But, you know, when push comes to shove, he ain't it. It's just that simple.
Yeah, I think he's just a tease, man.
Graham and Haverhill with another area of concern based on some of the stuff I've heard this week from Patriots training camp on the tight ends. Go ahead, Graham.
Hey, guys. How are you? Big fan. I just want to run a side bet I have going by you. Do you think Asanasi and Keen combined will have better statistics than Gronkowski this year? And I don't know about you guys, but I've been watching the Buccaneers Instagram more than my ex-girlfriends at this point. They look pretty good down there.
Well, let me say this. Dalton Keene has looked assy-assy so far in practice.
Really?
Devin Asiasi's looked pretty good. Keene, yeah, he's dropped a lot of balls. He's dropped a lot of balls. He looks very unsure of himself. He has looked assy-assy, I will say that.
I mean, the day that Zoe was down there, he said that Ryan Izzo has been the standout tight end thus far. That's not good.
I mean, standout is strong, I think. I'm going to disagree with Zoe on that. Has he been maybe the most consistent? Yeah, I still think Asiasi looks like the best tight end. I think he has some potential. He's a rookie. I don't know how much you can rely on him. We'll see that there. So, you know, I just want to go back to one thing real quick because we're talking about the tight ends. But just what Zoe said about grabbing Cam Newton, just being down there a couple of days, I'm going to disagree with him on this. I don't think it's a lack of, like, inspiration, motivation for Cam Newton. It's a lack of experience and execution. So when everybody's like, Cam needs to grab this thing by the throat and take the job, yeah, that'd be great, but he also needs to get the reps to do that. Like, stop splitting reps with Brian Hoyer. Maybe if you gave him more reps, he could get up to speed faster and take the job. I don't see a lack of motivation or inspiration from him. It's a lack of knowledge, experience, and execution with the offense.
All you Stidham stands, you guys were saying, this is the next guy. Bill got it right. How do you feel now that he's hurt? And it feels like he's already lost the job to Cam Newton. Again, are you ready to accept Cam Newton as the starting quarterback, your Lord and Savior, Patriots fan? 617-779-0985. More of your Patriots calls coming up next here on Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, this is a leg injury for Jared Stidham, the second-year quarterback who's been in the mix for potentially the starting quarterback job. As of right now, he is on the practice field He is out at practice. Unclear how much he's actually going to do. From what it was told to me, and this is something I've reported with colleague Mike Giardi, he is going to be very limited today. We'll see if he actually does anything, but he is out there with a helmet, kind of sort of going through stretching with his teammates. He's gotten checked out by some doctors over the last little bit. And, you know, if you were wondering for Stidham why over the last 2 or 3 days he maybe hasn't quite looked like himself at practice and his interceptions picked up, just didn't seem, from what I could tell, like he had a lot in the football, this would explain it. This would explain why he has just not been the quarterback he was earlier. And so for Jared Stidham, this is something we're going to have to continue to monitor, and we'll see how much he actually does at practice today.
Not a good look for Jared Stidham. I'm sorry. I know, Chris, you said in the last segment, it's Gaspar Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. That, you know, much like 2011 when you had the near lockout, you had more injuries to players that year because they're not training the correct way and they don't have access to, you know, the programs that they normally would have. But I don't know, hire a trainer. Maybe don't go to all those weddings in Texas. Maybe stop dancing. I think for a kid who could have taken the reins here, who was talked about as the heir apparent to Brady from last camp to this one by a certain segment of the Patriots media cartel, not good. Not good. I personally, not that I'm happy about the injury, but I'm happy that this paves way for Cam Newton, because I think it should be his job. He's just given his resume and everything that he's already accomplished. And I know the concerns about the injury, but it should be Cam's job. And plus, it spites Felger, too, because he's been all behind on the Stidham train now, and he still wants it to be Brian Hoyer. Cam Newton. That's who it should be. That's why I wanted it to be. And it does feel like it's going to be Cam Newton week one against Miami with no fans at Gillette Stadium. Just as an aside, how do you feel about that? Because it feels, you know, I know the NFL is leaving it up to the jurisdictions of the states that these teams are in. But it was already announced, was it earlier this week or late the prior week, that for the first month, no fans in September at Gillette Stadium. I don't know, like, what do you, the no fans thing, just from watching some of the other sports too, whether it's the NHL, NBA, like, how have you felt about this and how do you think it's going to affect the league? Because home field advantage really is, well, an advantage, I think, especially when you go to a place like Kansas City or Seattle. Yeah. Obviously, the Patriots will have to go to the Seahawks, what is that, week three, and there'll be no fans there. They've already announced that. So, just quickly, your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. And then you have some places where they're really determined to have fans, like Dallas. You know, your guy, Jerry Jones. You know?
That's right. We'll get them in there no matter what. I don't care if you wear masks at all.
I think Jerry Jones also wants to make sure that he's able to choose the gender of those fans, Jim.
That's right. I just need whores in there. No masks at all. You can't hide hot, even if you're wearing them. I know.
So you have that. It's going to be really interesting because I think that football, more than any other sport, home field advantage makes a big difference. And if you take that away, how does it play out? Is it an advantage for certain teams in terms of maybe some teams are better than others at rooting out communication of the opposing team? So maybe that will be a potential advantage when you take the crowd noise out of it. It's fascinating. I don't like the fact that just as a country, we've had a very disjointed piecemeal approach to this. I think simply from a fairness standpoint, never mind the health and safety, which should be paramount, but let's just talk about what the NFL really cares about and what these coaches really care about, which is just a fairness, a competitive fairness standpoint. It's not fair for, you know, Jerry Jones and his monument to excess, that stadium down there, for them to be able to put, you know, 25,000 fans in there, and then if you're the New York Giants, you can't have any fans. Like, that doesn't make sense from a competitive standpoint, never mind the danger of having fans in there in the first place.
Just leaving it to that, I'm with you on that. It should be universal for all the teams, I think. And especially, like, if you look at Dallas, too, even if you're going to spread everybody out, that place is indoors. You know, like, what are you doing? You know, I guess if you're outdoors, I can understand it. You can maybe spread people out if you're leaving it to about 15, 20,000 fans. But I do think it should be universal because there is an advantage there if you're able to have fans in the stadium. But as far as the quarterbacks are concerned, how do you, Patriots fans, feel about Cam Newton? Are you ready to accept him as your Lord and Savior?
You're ready to embrace Cam Newton?
The new quarterback of the New England Patriots, because now it feels like he's getting that gig by default with this injury to Jared Stidham. I thought it was his job anyway, but Mike and Quincy, what do you think?
Hey, I couldn't agree more. I mean, we've known Hoyer for a while. We've seen him for a while. It's ridiculous to think that he'd all of a sudden be our guy. I feel like I'm Will Ferrell from Zoolander. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills when I hear that he's going to be the guy, because we know he's not, dude. Take the keys, give them to Cam Newton, and we need to sit back and say our prayers. That's all we can do now, fellas. Godspeed and good luck.
Thanks, Mike.
I'll say this to you, Jim. Don't you think, and this is where I think Felger's coming from, in terms of he wants to see the litmus test of is it the system or was it Brady? The ultimate test would be Brian Hoyer. I'll be the first to admit, if Brian Hoyer's their starting quarterback and they win 11 games, then like I'm just going to have to bow down. Like I will go down there, get on my knees and say, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. If they can win 11 games and win two playoff games with Brian Hoyer.
I mean, he's as mediocre gets. And I'm sure, I know he's a nice guy from everyone that's covered
the team. Brian's a great guy.
But, you know, for the talk of 10-6 with this guy, he's got 16 wins in his career. He's been around forever. It's just, oh, I hate the thought of that. Like anybody else. And he's just... No, but I'm with you. Like, if he were to end up being the starting quarterback of this team, it's Brian Hoyer, and they win the division, and maybe they even win a playoff game, I will never, ever doubt Bill again. Yeah, I won't even use the Bill Jong-un mocking, anything
you
like that.
You can't, right?
No, he will be right. I will have been wrong. And like you always say, Chris, like, he will forget more football than we will ever know in the next 5 minutes. I get that. But I think, I don't know, let's not overthink this. Brian Hoyer should not be the quarterback of this team when you have Cam Newton here.
I will say this about Bill, too. Bill's interesting in that I feel like sometimes, like all people who are really great at their jobs, he likes to motivate and challenge himself by creating a degree of difficulty that doesn't necessarily have to be there. So Bill's probably like, yeah, I could win with Cam, but you know what? I can win with Hoyer too, right. And I'm going to show you. You know what I mean? I mean,
what's the most Bill thing I can possibly do?
Yeah, I mean, trying to win with Hoyer. I mean, talk about the hubris of the hoodie. I mean, that right there, to me, would just be the ultimate example of that, being like, yeah, Hoyer's our guy, and you know what? We can win with him. I can win with him, too. And it's not like, by the way, people will look at it and say, oh, Hoyer hasn't played for a team like the Patriots, and he's never had great coaching. Well, he was in Houston with Bill O'Brien. And Bill O'Brien got a lot out of him, but there were even limits to Bill O'Brien. And Bill O'Brien's a great offensive coach.
Yeah, well, if you were with us earlier, I mentioned that we had a curveball thrown at us here. Told by the head of the cleaning services here, ACP Facilities, Facility Services, you should use them, the official cleaning service of 98.5 The Sports Hub. They're doing a thorough cleaning of the building today, and the gentleman popped in and said, hey, man, we got to clean this studio. Wait, with us in it while we're doing the show? Yes. So I was like, well, how are we going to handle this? Well, it turns out they're going to do another job and then come back. Son of a bitch. Because I was all ready to have them clean while we're on the air, Chris. We could just go and, I don't know, stand outside or whatever, and then we play some Chuck Mangione. Ah, yes. The jazz pop single Feels So Good from 1977. You're like, wait a minute. I don't know this song. I promise you do. When it kicks in, right about now. Do you know how much I spitefully wanted people to tune in? Wait a minute. Where's Jim being a dick and Chris with his steady takes? Oh, they're not here because we have the cleaning guys taking care of the studio while we're supposed to be doing the show. The coked out sounds of 1977. But alas, they're going to go do another job and they're going to do this after us. But isn't there a show that's on after us? Who's scheduled?
Marshall Hook.
Oh, good luck, Hook. Well, if you want to steal this bit and play some music while they clean the studio, have at it. Back after this, our long commercial-free segment. Chris, I want to get your thoughts on Tuukka Rask, because we haven't been on the last couple of weeks, and how the Bruins have handled everything in that situation. With Rask out, Yaroslav Halak in, the Bruins take care of the Carolina Hurricanes in 5 games. We now know they're going to be taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. So your thoughts on that and the Sports Hub Celtics show coming up at noon here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is our first chance to talk to you in a little while. What was your reaction to Tuukka's decision to leave the bubble? And has there been any more conversation in the last day or two with Tuukka and any chances of him possibly returning? I realize there's some protocols he has to go through.
Yeah, I have not spoke to Tuukka the last few days. Obviously, as you know, as Don mentioned, he came and spoke to us the morning of game three where he said that he had to go home to deal with a family emergency. So we respected that. And now it's about the guys that are here and the team that we have here that we have to focus on.
All right, Cam Neely on Tuukka Rask. And so we haven't been on the last couple of weekends here, Chris, because of, you know, first some vacation for me. And then last Saturday, the Bruins, it's game three in that series between them and the Carolina Hurricanes, who they now disposed of in five games. It's Gaspar Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. And after the game two loss, I couldn't believe the postgame comments that Thursday night from Tuukka Rask. The guy sounded completely checked out. They'd rather be anywhere else than that Toronto bubble. And then a week ago today, I'm sitting in the car wash, look down at Twitter, getting ready to listen to the game, and it's a statement from the official Bruins account saying Tuukka Rask is leaving the bubble. I had to initially look. I was like, wait a minute, this isn't. Oh, no, there's the blue check mark. No, it's real. Huh? And, you know, family issue, something like that, fine. I just do believe, though, like once you've made the commitment to your team, your teammates, your profession, you do ride it out unless like it's a complete emergency. And I know it's been reported as emergency, but I also think it was kind of interesting that Don Sweeney and the Bruins brass in the following days were saying like, no, everything's fine with the family. And good, good. I legitimately mean that. Like, I'm good. I'm happy to hear that everything's absolutely good with his family. But at the risk of sounding cold-hearted, this family issue, if it wasn't that big of a surprise, maybe one of his kids had a bad allergy attack, a diabetic reaction, and it was something along those lines, and he knew that either he or his wife would freak out about it, well, he never should have went in the first place, I feel like. Now, it's all moot anyway, at least for right now. In this first-round series, they dispose of Carolina in the first five games, and credit to them, too, for being able to compartmentalize and focus on the task at hand, because this is something I think would derail lesser teams. Losing their, you know, their number one goalie, and not only that, maybe their best player in David Pastrnak, who barely played in that series with his injury. So they handled that well, but just your thoughts on Rask, because we haven't worked the last couple of weeks, and how this whole thing has played out.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely surprised by it. I think that it's impossible to talk about this without the context of his comments after the loss. And with him saying it doesn't feel like playoff hockey, and it feels like an exhibition. So the people that maybe are questioning him or doubting him, because there's a lot of people that say, well, you know, it's his family. You can't question anything with family. You can't question it. Well, look, it's a little bit different. You have to look at the full context.
Right.
So here's what I would say. I don't think that it is mutually exclusive that, one, he just didn't want to be there from a pure hockey standpoint, wasn't feeling it, wasn't motivated, didn't like the environment, and two, that all of a sudden a family crisis cropped up. I think both of those things could be true.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I think that that's likely what happened. And I would say that one makes you more predisposed to leave when the other happens. And I'm not going to judge him for that. But I also am sort of sick of and don't like the you can't discuss this, you can't critique this, you can't debate this because it's family. And, you know, family, drop mic.
Hey, it's a neat little trick, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. Because the reality of it is the information we're getting from a family, and it's absolutely his right to privacy. He doesn't have to tell us anything. I have no problem with that. But then on the other hand, you have to understand that people are going to ask questions about it when you have conflicting information coming from the team, the general manager of the team saying everybody's healthy, there's no major health issue. Then people are going to say something. You're not going to just get a blank slate and a free pass in terms of anybody questioning you or sort of dissecting your decision when there's a conflict like that. And then days later, you know, Cam Neely says, oh, okay, yeah, you know, yeah, there is some sort of family health thing. And also, you didn't go to the coach.
Yeah, I found that a little bit
curious. The coach
curious
doesn't
too.
Really seem to be in your corner from the PR standpoint. He's in your corner from the family standpoint because the coach is a good guy, probably one of the most human people I've ever come into contact with in professional sports with Cassidy. But he also doesn't seem to be in Tuca's corner in terms of the way Tuukka handled this.
Yeah, and I don't blame him either. And look, I have no problem being the bad guy, because like you say, like, oh, how dare you? It's a family issue. You can't talk about it. Like, of course you can. Given the timing and what he said after that game two loss, of course you can. That's on the table. And I don't know. I question that guy's dedication to his craft, how much he really cares. And then there was that whole thing of whether or not he was golfing the day after that he returned. So if he was, you know, bad luck. Regardless, I give them all the credit in the world for the way that they handled this series and all the stuff that was going on with Rask last week, and that this thing didn't end up going seven games. You know, they were able to focus on the task at hand. I think it's no small feat. And I talked about this yesterday. It was my opening take on Felger and Mazz on an Agenda Free Friday. Thursday night, there was a complete give up by the Calgary Flames up in the bubble in their series with the Dallas Stars. They're up 3-0 in the game. Then they give up 7 straight goals, and they completely quit in the second period. It was a no-show in the earlier game for the Washington Capitals in their series. And you see give up like never before. And I think that that's easy to do in these bubbles when these teams are on the brink and they're like, you know what, let's just pack it in and get the hell out of here. And the way that the Bruins dealt with everything off the ice with Rask and not having David Pastrnak, like, I'm really impressed by that. And it's why I don't think you can put an asterisk on any of these championships, Chris, because of the focus, the mental focus it's going to take from some of these players. Because it is so easy to just say, ah, the hell with this. Let's pack it in and get the hell out of here, you know? So I give them all the credit in the world. Now we know they're going to be taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. That series starts up tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Curious scheduling, because they're really trying to get this thing in. I don't like that there's back-to-backs.
Two back-to-backs, including Game 6 and Game 7, if it goes that far.
Yeah, so in case you don't know, Game 1 again tomorrow night. Game 2 Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Game 3 Wednesday, 8 o'clock. Game 4 would be Friday at 7:30 and TBD start times for 5, 6, and 7. But like Chris just said, Game 6 and 7, if it's to go that far, would be Tuesday, September 1st and Wednesday, September 2nd. So, you know, why the concern? Well, the goalie situation. Well, I like Yaroslav Halak, but boy, was he shaky in some of those games in this series. Do you like the thought of him playing back-to-back games? I would think that you maybe see Dan Vladar or someone else at some point.
You think
Maybe.
Oh, I don't think you could do that.
No?
You don't have that margin for error against this team. Whoever wins this series, I think, and I don't mean to discount the Islanders or the Flyers. And by the way, you know that 2020 is just absolutely like the Black Mirror year when the Flyers actually have a goaltender. Like, of all the things that have happened this year, that to me is the most disturbing. The Philadelphia Flyers have a goalie in Carter Hart. But when you look at it, not to disrespect those teams, but I think whoever wins this Lightning-Bruins series, they're coming out of the East.
And who do you think it will be?
I think it's the Lightning in 7. And I just think the Lightning have more margin for error because they do have their number one goalie, and I think there's just a little bit more scoring depth there.
Vasilevsky has some puke in him, though. He's got that Rask thing where you can't fully trust him, I feel like. But if Halak is at the level he was at in this series, yeah, I don't see them getting past Tampa either. I mean, I think that'll be a competitive series. Probably
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, but bottom line is Yaro Halak has to be better. But either way, that puck drops for Game 1 tomorrow night here with Judd Surratt and Bob Beers on 98.5 of Sports Hub. 8 o'clock puck drop, pregame, 7:30. We'll get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines here. And then we'll get into the Celtics, who have now taken a commanding 3-0 series lead over that trash 76ers team last night. Oh, please sweep them tomorrow and get this team out of my face. We'll get to that next with the Sports Hub Celtics show here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.